News and interviews from across the world and right here in the central Susquehanna Valley. This is WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Rob Satter, being the fabulous, that's all he knows how to do. That's all he does. Nothing more, nothing less. He is our great producer, so we appreciate his help and hard work. On the news line with us now, Dr. Lindsay Sowers is here. She's a psychologist who works for UPMC Behavioral Health at UPMC, based out of Williamsport. Good morning, Dr. Sowers. Thanks for calling in today.
Having me.
I really do appreciate you checking in. What is, I hate to be overly vague about this, but we've had additional concerns about our teenagers because of the pandemic. Is it feasible to even ask such a general question? What is the state of our teens today?
Question. But I think certainly an important one to be looking at, because right now, you know, as adults, we're experiencing so much stress, and there are just added factors that are challenging the teens with the pandemic. The rates of suicide were on the rise even prior to the pandemic, and so some of the typical stressors that teens go through, it's just been escalated into what has been called the perfect storm of stressors. I do also think, though, and have seen how resilient teens have been throughout all of this time, because there have just been so many changes that they have to constantly adjust to. And that's in addition to this developmental period that's just complicated.
All right. I guess I'll have to ask you to speak up. I know you are speaking in full volume, but sometimes the phone cuts out just a little bit. So speak up a tiny bit if you can. You said that suicide was on the rise prior to the pandemic. Do we have anything that we can definitively attribute that to?
No, I don't know that there's that they know exactly, but I do know that in a lot of ways, while technology has been extremely helpful in connecting people, it's also really not connecting people on, and teens particularly, on a deep level. And so we might be as connected as possible in terms of being able to text somebody, but actually connecting on an emotional level has really become challenging. You know, I think emotions are extremely abstract to a lot of folks, and so they're very scary, and so we don't necessarily know how to teach our young folks how to tolerate them, to identify them. And in doing so, you know, we also have just so many demands coming at us very quickly with all of the technology that we have. And so it's just a lot to be navigating. And so I can only imagine that is what is a significant part of the rise prior to the pandemic even starting.
And we know that a lot of teens are thriving now. A lot more teens are doing even better, or, you know, are learning how to make these good connections, or kind of navigating, to use your word, satisfactorily. Tell us about this growing number of individuals, we're glad to say, who are just doing better each day.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that the pandemic has, you know, pandemic and even prior, but I think pandemic time in particular has sort of illuminated the fact that this is extremely, like, life is stressful. And so resources have become a little bit more talked about. And I think that some students and some teens are able to identify different ways to connect during this socially distanced time. It sort of forced all of us to become a little bit more creative about how to be in touch with each other. And so I think with teens in particular, they've been able to use the technology in a way to continue to connect. I'm not saying that that's happening for everybody, and I think when it is, it's really helping those individuals to thrive and do so together.
When I typed this question into the email that we sent you last week, my colleague in the newsroom laughed, but I'm going to use it anyway. What do teens need? Is it feasible to answer such a general question? What do teens need?
Well, yeah, it is. I think that there's a lot of individuality that goes into that, but I guess certainly from the lens that I'm coming from, I think it's really important to ask how they're doing emotionally, to be able to prioritize really hearing adolescents. I think that in a lot of ways, while we can honor their unique experiences, we also can invalidate them as well, as sort of like, you know, you're not an adult yet, you may not have a valid opinion. And I think that our youth have a lot of important perspectives to offer, and to really validate that, I think, is critical. Making resources available, I think just continuing to talk, to open those lines of communication. It can be really challenging, and I think this is a generalization in some ways, but, you know, there's this question of, do we sort of ask the questions? Do we step back? And I think that there can be an important balance there, to keep the lines of communication open. Structure and accountability, although our youth are probably going to initially, or some do, sort of say that they don't really want that, it's actually extremely important. And in a lot of ways, they really do want to know that there is that person caring about them. And just to have a safe space to access resources and get support.
Is there some way that a parent can just listen, I don't know how to say it, without any judgment or without really hearing it, like almost pretending they hadn't heard it, just so they know what's going on? You know, tell me everything that's going on. I promise I won't act on it, rebuke. I might reward you if something's great. Is that feasible? Or advisable?
As a parent myself, I mean, I think that it's, I think being honest about what is actually possible, and I think if you're going to ask somebody to share with you, and then you are going to sort of offer a punishment, I mean, I think a parent would really need to be clear this is a safe space. And I think, though, when concern is expressed from a really heartfelt place, it can be more of sort of a relationship growing experience. I think that, validation is extremely important. And when we're talking about validation, this doesn't have to be like, I agree with you, the other person that you're sort of hearing. It's really sharing how it is that you understand the person's reality from their perspective, given their experiences. It doesn't mean you have to agree. It just means that I can see where you're coming from, given all that you've been through in life, or help me understand how this has come to be. And so I think those are some ways to hear. And I think we need to all slow down in reacting. There's a lot of our own emotions as adults and parents that come up in these kinds of conversations, and that might lead to quick response. But if we're aware ourselves of how that's impacting us, we can really explore what is the main goal here. Because I think that well-being overall is really, I think, everybody's ultimate goal.
Right, if you can somehow affect that without injury, I suppose, or without hurting the relationship at all, that would probably be good. When is counseling appropriate? Very briefly here. We just have a couple of moments left, but when is counseling appropriate? Probably all the time for everybody, anytime, but when does it seem like a clearer need?
Yeah, I mean, I think you said it there. A psychologist might say all the time, anytime. But in reality, I mean, we look at functioning when we start to notice something has shifted for the individual's functioning. And I think that's probably, I would sort of say, the threshold of reaching out for a teenager would be a little bit sooner than even an adult, because there's so much going on developmentally there. Also, big life changes and somebody's personal life, just to sort of be on the lookout for ways that's affecting daily living, whether that's sleep or appetite or social interaction. Those are just some of the times that it might be important to really seek that out.
Anything else you would like to say? Have an open mic.
Just that we as adults are role models, and so, you know, the more that we can also become aware of, you know, what's going on for us emotionally and seeking help and communicating, the more that we're going to be able to teach that to the teenagers and the children in our worlds. The suicide hotline is something that's important to put out there, and that is a national number. It's 800-273-8255. I just wanted to make sure to put that out there.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I'll repeat that, too, after we hang up. Dr. Lindsay Sowers, thank you so much for calling in. Let's connect up again, and let's try to keep this kind of great information going. I really thank you for your time today.
Hey, no problem. Thank you.
That's Dr. Lindsay Sowers, a psychologist. One of the places she works is UPMC Behavioral Health at UPMC in Williamsport. We always thank Tyler Wagner, who's the manager of public relations there. Make sure that we get connected up with some of these great professionals. So we appreciate his help today as well.